BBC News.
A year ago, Palestinian singer Reem Kalani was researching Egyptian music in Cairo when she found herself surrounded by the revolution which led to the downfall of President Mubarak. For 18 days from the 25th of January 2011, millions gathered to make history in and around Tahrir Square. Now she looks back at the events of the past year in Egypt and traces some of the revolution's remarkable musical and cultural roots in Songs for Tahrir.
Tahrir, or Liberation Square, is located in downtown Cairo and has long been associated with popular riots and demonstrations. But for 2 weeks in early 2011, it became the center of world attention. I was in the square with a tape recorder, overwhelmed at what was unfolding around me. I returned in November, a week before the elections, to find the protests firing up again.
The guy there is holding an effigy of the Field Marshal, and it says,
I was fascinated to hear that alongside the musical sounds of a younger generation, among the crowds in the square, you could also hear the music of a figure who had died nearly a century ago. The man in question is Sayyid Darwish, and in this program, I'm going to be exploring a different side of a revolution that's been in the news as a political event for a year now. It's a musical and cultural journey which has the legacy of Sayyid Darwish, composer, revolutionary, and man of the people, at its heart.
So Sayyid Darwish, being always an outcast in his times, was grabbed and used and abused as a figure.
In 2010, Khalid Abu Naga co-produced Microphone, an award-winning film that explored the underground art scene in Alexandria and is now regarded by many as the film of the revolution.
But look at the young people in Alexandria. Who did they go back in time and use and find the lyrics depicting exactly what they're living in? Sayyid Darwish again. The song that really reflected how we all felt, it brought tears to our eyes singing, just reading the lyrics, was a Sayyid Darwish song, Ahud Al Sar, Ahud Al Sar. Ahud Al Sar.
After the end of the First World War, Egyptians had been expecting the self-determination that had been assured them by American President Woodrow Wilson for helping in the war effort. When the promise of ending British colonial rule was not kept, the 1919 Egyptian revolt erupted on the 8th of March of that year. Darwish's music is rooted in this history. Ahud al-Lisar means this is where we're at. Egypt, O mother of wonders, your people are great and your foes are not. Watch out for those who love you, for they are the champions of your cause.
When Mubarak's regime tried to stay in power in the first days of the revolution, they basically cut off Egypt from the internet. It's a hijacking technique. The idea is that we felt that whoever is in power in Egypt at this time is actually not that far from whoever was occupying Egypt, colonial power that was occupying Egypt back then. And that's why the lyrics resonates again.
After signing the Camp David peace treaty with Israel, the regime felt it could not use the existing national anthem that glorified military struggle. So they brought back the iconic anthem of the 1919 revolt, Darwish's Biladi Biladi, a love song for the homeland. My belief is that the regime thought that by replacing a militant anthem with a seemingly anodyne one, albeit written by the people's musician, would pacify the people. For many Egyptians, however, this symbolized a neutralization of Derwish's anti-establishment ethos by a regime which they felt was subservient to the West. When the revolution erupted in 2011, Egyptians came out with their anthem in full voice. With demonstrators on the front line showing remarkable courage, those waiting behind chanted and sang. Music was their way of sustaining the protest. They fought with song. I walked across the Nile away from Tahrir Square to a place where life was going on as usual. Somewhere else that is key to understanding the power of Derwish's musical language.
Sayyid Derwish was born in Alexandria and then he moved to Cairo later on. Cairo being the Hollywood of the Middle East in terms of the music business. But in both Alexandria and Cairo, he lived in working class areas. He always lived in areas where there are markets, street sellers. This is Gohar Market, Dokki district in Cairo. And these are the same people that would have inspired Sayyid Derwish. These are two lovely dates, two varieties of dates. And this one, the gentleman was telling me, it's called Balah Zaghloul. And the significance of this fruit, Zaghloul dates, when the British deported the Egyptian nationalist leader Saad Zaghloul, his name was not allowed to be used publicly. It was illegal to use his name. So Sayyid Derwish and his lyricist worked out this trick to sing about Balah Zaghloul, the Zaghloul dates, and it ended up as a song selling dates, but it's actually a song praising Saad Zaghloul. And in Egypt, in the Muslim world in general, when they say that you're talking to someone and then the call to the prayer starts, that means what you were saying is true. So I wasn't lying to you.
It is true. All kinds of messages were embedded into Sayyid Derwish's songs, even though seemingly speaking of daily affairs. The song I was discussing with the date seller cleverly alludes to the nationalist leader Saad Zaghloul. The protagonist in this song is a seller who sings about her sweet and crunchy Zaghloul dates. She feels lucky and happy. Saad translates as happy. Happy dates, Saad Zaghloul. It's one of his most beautiful and memorable songs.
عسل يسمر. And he sang it so beautifully. And these are the people that Sayyid Derwish came from and sang about. All these sounds, intonations, calls would be incorporated into his songs. And then the songs came back to the people. He actually took from and gave back to the people simply because he was one of the people. Last night, for instance, a young Egyptian man told me, "Madame, I love Sayyid Derwish because he felt the pain of every Egyptian." On the 25th of January, thousands began pouring onto the streets of Cairo with Tahrir Square as their destination. Lina Migahir is a young law student who was and still is at the front line of the revolution.
I saw so many people and I thought that, oh my God, all Egypt is here.
So you said that the demonstrators were actually tying the water hoses in knots to prevent the water from being showered
at. Very courageous. They had guns and tear gas and we had just stones.
By the 28th of January, it was obvious to all of us that the protests were rapidly turning into a full-blown revolution. Khalid Abul Naga.
When they cut off the cell phones, the internet, and the army was all over. And when millions still came out, chanted and filled all the big streets and squares in Tahrir, I'm sure everybody had a moment when he had tears in his eyes in this revolution. But I really cried because I knew something else happened.
I am looking at two giant lions at the top of the now infamous Qasr al-Nil Bridge, which takes you to Tahrir Square. On the 28th of January 2011, it took me almost 3 hours to get to this bridge. It was attack and retreat, attack and retreat. The police and security forces were attacking the demonstrators with water cannons, with tear gas. It reeked with vinegar, one of the protective methods against tear gas. And there were piping hot tear gas canisters flying around us, people fainting, throwing up, the majority shouting and saying, Silmiya, Silmiya, it's peaceful, let's keep it peaceful.
As you saw in the 18 days of ousting Mubarak, the first thing that you do when you go out on a protest in the street is you sing, you chant.
All through the past 12 months, there's been a creative spark to this revolution. Graffiti artists chronicling events, singing circles of all ages, ad hoc discussion groups, and of course the frontline troops of demonstrators. And the chants continued to echo between the tents and the frontline, day in, day out.
When the very famous slogan came out, Ash'ab Yurid Isqat al-Nizam, which we borrowed from Tunis, people demands regime steps down. When we borrowed that slogan, it felt so good saying it. It felt so good saying it because it just went all the way to the top. You know, you can say, we hate this, we don't like this, we don't like that, but you know what? We don't want the whole regime. Just leave, please, because it's not working.
Any chant or chants that you still remember and you still feel you need to say every day?
All of them, actually. You know, that one, الجدع جدع والجبان جبان وإحنا يا جدع قاعدين تلميذان. The brave is the brave.
The coward.
And we are the brave who's staying
in Tahrir Square.
In Tahrir Square.
How did you say it in Tahrir Square?
الجدع جدع والجبان جبان وإحنا يا جدع قاعدين في الميدان. And we were saying also, Hoa Yemshi, Meshan Yemshi.
He will leave, we will not.
It was amazing. After the 2 weeks, when I got back home.
You wanted to go back to Tahrir Square?
Yeah.
But you, at
still
least...
Still I want to.
Why did you still want to go back to Tahrir Square?
I wanted to be with different people, different ideologies, respect for everyone, cleaning together, singing together, circle of discussions. I wanted that. I wanted to be a part of this for whole my life. I found it amazing. An amazing community did indeed develop in the square during those 2 weeks in early 2011. The Choir Project, an independent collective of mainly amateur performers, singers and musicians, organized daily workshops in the week after Mubarak's resignation. After an open call for volunteers and an intensive workshop schedule, they came up with People Demand the Life of the Square. When I went to see the concert, I saw many familiar faces from Tahrir Square. Those were the same people who had camped in the square night after night, singing and chanting the very slogans that would end up in their collective composition.
Everyone there attending the workshop in the choir saw that the most important phenomena of this revolution was Tahrir Square and how life was inside it.
Cairo-based Palestinian singer and composer Tamir Abu Ghazali.
From the morning chant and then going through the hopes, the calling upon the army to save things and to be just, etc. And then the song ending with this pride of being Egyptian and pride of being there in Tahrir Square, and then insisting on the fact that we want the life of Tahrir Square to spread to all.